Welcome to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to this episode of War Eagle Weekly and all previous ones on our podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. You can also find this station on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, or on the ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Austin Price here in the studio with you, joined by my co-host Bill Clark, who is one of our show sponsors, along with Coach and Forest Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road, right across the street from Five Flag Speedway. Bill, War Eagle, and good morning, my friend.
War Eagle, good morning. Looking forward to this next couple of days.
Yeah, we're getting down to the final stretch here. For those who are not aware, we've been kind of hinting at this for a little bit. After the basketball season concludes, we're going to take a little bit of a hiatus, you know, up until football season rolls around. So next week will be our last episode of War Eagle Weekly until we get to the football season, at least. So thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it just throughout this entire run, but especially today and next week. And Bill, as we always do, we get started with some non-basketball stuff, because obviously basketball is the headliner. But we've got, from what I hear, a fair balance, as always, of baseball, softball, maybe some football off-season news. What do you got for me?
Well, we're going to start off with something that's not even athletic at all.
Yeah, you said you had something else in store.
Yeah, with this being the home of the Blue Angels, everybody knows that the Blue Angels have returned to Pensacola to start their air show season. They did all their winter practice and workups in California and then bring the team back home to Navy Pensacola.
Right.
There is a member of the Blue Angels that is an Auburn grad. The number 8 Blue Angel, the events coordinator, is Lieutenant Commander Lily Montana.
Wow, okay.
She attended Auburn University and graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science in 2010. She was a naval flight officer, went through training here at Pensacola, obviously, and got selected to the Blue Angels. And this is her first of 2 years on the team as the events coordinator, number 8. Welcome aboard, and War Eagle, and if anybody out there happens to know her or know how to get in touch with her, tell her this program said, welcome to Pensacola and War Eagle.
Right, right. See, we aren't the only local Auburn representation around here. Absolutely. All right. So, as you said, congrats to her. Welcome to Pensacola. We're happy to have you. Now, what I'm not happy about is, we've been touching on the baseball and softball seasons, and you were telling me shortly before we went live this morning, they've kind of hit some rough patches, so to speak. Not the end of the world, but just some down stretches here.
Yeah, not the end of the world. We have good programs in both softball and baseball.
Right.
This looks like a promising season for both squads, but this past week has been kind of rough on both of them. The softball program is overall 22-14. Unfortunately, we're 0-12 in the conference, and they've lost their last 3. Mm. So, we have a better road record at 12-6. But I still look for good things out of the softball program. They're always, I raised a daughter, and she played softball, and she was really good at it. I wish she had gone to college and played softball in college. She just wasn't interested. So I've always been a big fan of the Auburn softball program because she and I used to watch the games together.
Right.
And I still follow the program, and I'll still watch the games. The baseball team has a little bit better record overall. We're 20-9.
Okay.
But we're on a 4-game losing skid. We lost 3 in a row to Georgia, and then we lost to UAB. Mm. Neutral sites, we're 5-0. Away, we're 2-5. Home, we have it's like a total flip-flop from the softball program. We're 13-4 at home. So, with the basketball season drawing to a close, obviously it's going to end after Monday night, regardless of how deep Auburn stays in the bracket. we've got some baseball and softball to look forward to for the next few months.
Right.
Obviously, I'm paying real close attention to what's going on in spring ball with the football program. The recruiting for the basketball team, because obviously we're going to lose 5 players off the team just because they're running out of eligibility.
That's why this is such a win now moment for Auburn.
The one player we really want to hold on to and keep out of the portal and keep him at Auburn is Pettiford. So as soon as the basketball season comes to a close, we'll start paying real close attention to the transfer portal, because I'm sure Bruce is going to go deep in the portal to try to plug some holes. He's got some commits that are high schoolers that are going to come, so hopefully he can bring them aboard and start working on rebuilding the program to hopefully what it is this year, you know, just a plug and play and rinse and repeat, you know. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing where that's going to go. There was one interesting thing about the transfer portal that I saw this morning, and it came from On3 Sports, but I want to see it from another source before I'm really convinced that it's going to happen, was that Holloway, the point guard that transferred from Auburn to Alabama,
right,
has now said he is going to transfer back to Auburn.
Oh, come on, bro. Pick a lane.
Yep. So, matter of fact, I think the quote that they showed on there was he wants to go back and finish what he started.
Ah.
So, I think he built some relationships at Auburn that he really misses. That's kind of what I glean out of that. But like I said, I'd like to see it from another source before I'm fully convinced that something like that's going to happen.
No, nothing is confirmed.
But, right. You know, he was recruited by Auburn. He started there. He transferred to Alabama, and apparently he's interested in coming back. So
as awkward of a transition as it may be.
But you know what? I'm super cool with that, because keeping Pettaway and having him come back and having those two rotating as your captains on the court, point guards, especially they're both shooting point guards. Man, that would be a good start.
Well, and you're talking about, first of all, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. And, talking about this whole transfer portal thing and how Bruce Pearl is going to do this, I personally don't see there being any way that Auburn does not show up in the transfer portal and have a pretty good haul, whether it be just – and that's not just transfer portal, that's recruiting as a whole. And the reason why I say that is because the SEC is becoming a quote-unquote basketball conference these past couple of years. If Auburn loses either Saturday or Monday, they're still going to be without a title in basketball. There's going to be players that want to see that they see that potential, and they want to be a part of the winning culture when it officially begins at Auburn. If you do win, the winning culture is already going to be there, and the future is going to be looking all the brighter, so people are going to want to be getting in on that train. So it's either they're going to be riding on the potential to win or the potential to continue winning. I don't see Bruce Pearl having any problem getting some big names after this season.
Yeah, another big plus is there's no discussion at all about any of the staff moving on to another program after this year. So
right.
It's looking like the entire coaching staff is going to stay put the way they are now, which is very attractive to a lot of these players because they like the chemistry.
Yeah, they want a solid culture.
And the relationships that Bruce and his son have built with the players that are there now, every time you see them in a press conference, they're all you can feel the energy and the love and the respect that they all have for each other. And they know the coach is the only thing he's looking for is to get the best out of those kids. And that's all he demands is, you know, give me 100% and I'll make sure that you get an opportunity to play or at least compete to play. And that's what attracts these kids, and especially the ones out of the portal. If they have any doubts in their mind about where they're at now and they want to go to another program, Auburn looks really, really good.
Especially with some of the talent that's leaving, they know they're going to have all the better of a chance to stand out and really get some serious court time.
Yeah, Auburn's going to be looking to nab at least three, maybe four marquee-type players to bring in and plug those holes. Because, I mean, we got to replace Cardwell, Broom, Miles, Kelly, and Chad Baker may stay. But Denver Jones, you know, so you got some really big shoes, literally and figuratively, to fill. And he's going to be reaching out to the portal to try to do that. I think in the long run, though, he's going to want to recruit some younger players that are going to spend 3 or 4 years with the program.
Right.
The way Dylan Cardwell did, you know, he started with Auburn. He's been with Auburn his whole basketball life in college. And that's like, you don't see that now with the transfer portal and NIL.
No, you do not.
You know, Chris Moore and Dylan Cardwell both have only been at Auburn. And other players see that, and they're like, well, what does that program have that makes that guy want to stay there?
Right.
You know, and that's a great recipe to have to sell to somebody.
Well, and, you know, I do believe, even with the transfer portal becoming more popular, I mean, and maybe I'm just looking at this from someone who, you know, went to college just recently over the past few years. I would like to ideally stay somewhere. So if I see a culture that it's like, hey, these guys stay here for several years, these guys build their talent and they build their culture within Auburn, I would like to go there. I would not just go willy-nilly thinking, oh, I can always leave. No, I would ideally like to find a place where I could stick around. And Auburn is promoting that image rather well. And, you know, it's funny that we're talking about acquiring big-name talent and everything for the basketball program in particular, because one of the last things we wanted to touch on before we went full dive into basketball in the next segment, Auburn has a commit, correct? There was a big name, and I'll have you refresh my memory here in just a moment, but a high-end recruit has already committed to Auburn basketball for next season, right?
Yeah, I don't have his name. Well, let me see if I can pull his name up. It just the headliner I got in my feed says the number one player in America commits to Auburn Tigers men's basketball over Alabama and Georgia.
Good company, yeah.
Yeah, so you know that you can recruit these kids now. You don't have to wait for the portal, obviously. So that's what Auburn is doing, and they're already planning ahead. And like I said before, the On3 reporting and like On3 reports that Aiden Holloway has transferred back to Auburn. I'd still like to see us in the next day or two a second source confirming that.
Yeah.
So that I know for sure it's real. But I mean, there's no reason for somebody from Alabama not to go into the portal now that their season's over. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to what the future holds for Auburn basketball. But now, jumping into the football arena, the recruit we picked up from your favorite team, Wake Forest, Horatio.
They always ball out when they leave Winston-Salem.
Yeah. Well, see, the receiver that we recruited, the number one guy in the portal, Singleton, has not reported to university yet, and that's because he. The differences in the class structure at Georgia Tech versus Auburn. He has to finish something there before he can enroll in Auburn, so he's not on the campus yet.
Okay.
But Horatio's already came to the school. He's already there. He's already enrolled. Everything I'm seeing visually on the YouTube videos that I'm watching and everything I'm reading about people that are on the ground there reporting on the practices is that Cam Coleman and Horatio are winning the 50-50 battles for balls over the top of the defenders. Mm. That is huge. And, you know, when you throw Singleton in there when he gets on campus, and I'm sure he's probably going to do the same thing. He should. He's that's why you recruited him. I would love to have those three guys not only on the field at the same time, but the ability to, you know, swap them out, you know, move pieces around the chessboard using those three guys as big-time receivers.
Right.
Jackson Arnold is throwing darts at him, and so is Deuce Knight. Both of them, everything I've seen out of them is there's going to be a serious competition for starting quarterback. Mm. It's not automatically Jackson Arnold's. And Austin hasn't reported on campus yet either from – Stanford.
So, Ashton.
Ashton. Daniels, yeah. So he is, he's going to make it even more competitive when he shows up. And one of the last press conferences that Hugh Freeze gave about the quarterback room was that when he gets the three quarterbacks he wants out there, he's just going to make it an open competition. He's not guaranteeing any of them anything. He's guaranteeing them the opportunity to win the starting job. And they're going to have to show out to play out.
Right.
So I like the quarterbacks that we have. I think Jackson Arnold has a much better opportunity to put his skills to use in this Auburn offense than he did had at Oklahoma, especially considering how decimated Oklahoma's receiver core was last year.
Yeah, it's,
that doesn't favor any quarterback. I don't care who it is. You could have had prime time's quarterback out there, his son.
I
don't think he would have fared much better because the receiver core was so banged up.
No, you're absolutely right.
So, I mean, we can't use that, in my mind, you can't use that as a metric to gauge what you're getting out of Jackson Arnold until he actually performs on the field with the receiver core that we have. As long as everybody stays healthy, I have very high expectations for a much better season this coming year.
Yeah, especially, as you said, if that core remains healthy, that's what's really going to put it.
Yeah, the coach was even asked about the offensive line, and Connor Lue hasn't practiced yet because he's still nursing the injury he had from the end of last season, but he's supposed to be the captain of the offensive line, and we still haven't had the two big-time recruits that we got at tackle come in to play. But he said the six that he's got out there now, six or seven that he's rotating in or out, they're picking up what they're supposed to pick up. They're learning. They're getting better each day. They're getting stronger and bigger. And so he said by the time these other guys show up on the campus, he should have 8 to 10 reliable offensive linemen that he can make this offense work.
Well, and also let me allow me to give you, because we got to go to break here. It's 10:18. But allow me to give you just a hint of additional reinsurance here when it comes to Auburn's potential next season on the gridiron. Wake Forest had a running back named Kenneth Walker III. He transferred to Michigan State and right away started getting Heisman attention early in the season, and he is now in the NFL. There was another running back named Justice Ellison who was at Wake Forest. He was decent. He transferred to Indiana. They just made a playoff appearance, and he was a big part of their running game. So if that good luck charm with these Wake Forest transfers is any implication, Auburn should be playoff bound.
Yeah, Wake Forest is a good AAA club for us, I guess.
Yeah. They set up the bigger dogs. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. When we return, we'll talk about how Auburn has essentially taken ownership of the state of Michigan in the basketball realm. This program is brought to you by Coaching Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road. That's right across the street from Five Flag Speedway, and brought to you by my co-host, Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coaching Forest Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coaching Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
A great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, so they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. It's more affordable than you think, and they'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Head to TrueGreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.
Limited time offer. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Uh-huh.
Well, I noticed dry brush where we wanted our bonfire and suggested we move it. Then Smokey Bear showed up and hugged me.
So you noticed some wildfire hazards and moved your bonfire to a safer location.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Smokey, all right. Just letting you know you did good.
Hey, guys, that was Smokey. You owe me 20.
Well, congratulations, and thanks for calling. There are many ways to prevent a wildfire. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Health and Hope Clinic provides free health care to the uninsured and the medically underserved in our community. They provide free, primary, preventative, specialty care, dental, and pharmacy assistance with the help of our 330 volunteer doctors, dentists, and nurses. If you or someone you know are looking for medical assistance, please visit healthandhopeclinic.org or call 850-479-4456. Health and Hope Clinic's mission is to provide health and hope to the hurting and underserved.
Get the best sports talk for Pensacola.
Beginning at 5 a.m. with Unsportsmanlike with Evan Cohen, Chris Canty, and Michelle Smallman. At 9, The Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass gives you your local sports talk. At 10, Clinton and Friends give unique insights and perspective on sports. At 11, no introduction needed for The Rich Eisen Show. At 2 o'clock, all things SEC talk with The Paul Feinbaum Show. And sports talk continues at night at 6 with Amber and Ian, followed by Game Night at 9 and SportsCenter All Night at midnight. ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM.
Your home for Sunday night baseball. ESPN. Pensacola.
Back to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road right across the street from Five Flags Speedway. And brought to you by my co-host Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you as always. And Bill, before we went to break, I had hinted at basically Auburn. Y'all got to at least claim a share of the state of Michigan now after beating the Wolverines one game and then beating Michigan State the very next. Looking here early at the game against the Wolverines here, this was probably one of your more complete games of the bracket so far, and that's saying something with how good y'all have looked. I told you last week this was going to be Auburn kind of facing Creighton 2.0, and it seems like the game kind of went down that way.
I would agree with that. Auburn's defense got better.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened. Even in the Alabama State game, Auburn didn't look all that great at first defensively, but once they made the defensive adjustments, that was literally what changed the game, especially against Creighton and especially against Michigan State.
Right.
We had a clamp down defense early in the Michigan State game and kept it that way. We recovered in the Michigan game second half by making the defensive adjustments. So I like the fact that Auburn's defense is playing – looks like they're playing a little more physical and a little faster
yep.
than they have been. More takeaways, limit the opponent's opportunities to get into the paint and crash the rim. Mm-hmm. It's an improvement. Every game's an improvement. Of course, we had the Janiah Broome scare in this last one, but we'll talk about that.
I did see improvements, visible ones, in the Michigan game. I told you during break, the only problem I really had with how y'all looked against the Wolverines, you had a decent amount of turnovers. You had 15. However, y'all forced Michigan to have the same amount, and obviously it didn't mean too much down the final stretch. Auburn's yet to struggle in the final moments of a game. And one of the main things I've been holding you accountable for is free throws. But against the Wolverines, you were 14 for 18. That's just about 78%. So we'll take that absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Because we had talked about it 2 weeks ago or a week ago was one of the games we had under 50% from the free throw line. You cannot win a ball game missing your free opportunities to get free points.
Right.
Second chance points, free throws, and limit the ability of the other team to get quality open shots. And, that is the recipe right now, especially in this at this level where everybody's a number one seed now.
Right.
So everybody's got to play their A game. Auburn seems to have started to peak again. We had that little ripple where we lost a couple of games at the end of the SEC tournament, And everybody was questioning, does Auburn have what it takes to get to the end?
I was questioning it.
In my deep recesses of my mind, I was kind of questioning it. But, you know, the Auburn in me was coming out saying, you know, that Bruce Pearl will find a way.
Right.
And he did. And I expect him to continue to do so. The team really looks good as a team. When somebody's having an off day, somebody else steps up. Mm-hmm. The last two games, Janiah Broome has had a double-double in the first half.
Right. I mean, he has. He's been on fire. 22-16 against the Wolverines.
And I don't think he's playing at 100%.
No.
So he's obviously not going to be playing at 100% in the this Saturday.
Right.
Because he hasn't practiced until maybe today. I know when I checked yesterday, he still hasn't practiced. But they say he's going to be ready to get on the court at game time. I mean, even if he's not 100%, you got to put him out there. He's just making somebody that they have to go around.
Right. Because he is. He's a strong defensive presence.
Yeah.
He could be missing a leg. He's still a problem.
Yeah, I mean, he came back in that Michigan State game essentially with one arm tied behind his back.
Yeah. And you could tell because I remember he walked – He came out onto the court after a while, and you could tell he was making a point of not moving his arm.
Yeah, he made that one-armed rebound and then immediately shot a three-pointer. You know, I mean, he's a lefty. The hyperextension was in his right elbow, so it doesn't affect his shooting arm. Of course, he's really good with both from either left or right under the basket. I mean, he's just so hard to defend because he's got so much length and height to him and – vertical. You know, he just out-verticals everybody, and he out-physicals everybody. It's one thing to have a tall guy. It's another thing to have a big, physical, tall guy.
Right.
Kind of a taller version of Charles Barkley.
and a slimmer version, too.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, yeah, Charles was super, super physical, and that's what made him what he is.
Right.
He made up for his lack in height with his physicalness. Janiah Broome's got all of that. He doesn't, like you say, he doesn't have the weight, the physical weight that Charles had, but, man, he doesn't back down. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing I love about this team. Even the smaller guys, Pettiford, not afraid of anything.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned him because in that game against Michigan, he and Denver Jones balled out. They combined for 40 points. That is unbelievable. So when you have a guy like Janiah Broome popping off and you're playing someone like Michigan in the Sweet 16, that is phenomenal to have three players hit 20 points.
Well, the whole stat sheet for Auburn in the Michigan game is just phenomenal, and almost all of it was in the second half.
Right.
You had Janiah Broome, he had 22 points and 16 rebounds, mm-hmm. And he had a double-double at halftime, so
yeah.
All he did was add to that. The big stat that sticks out to me in the Michigan game more than anything else is Dylan Cardwell had 9 rebounds. Mm-hmm. So Janiah Broome had 16, Dylan Cardwell had 9. Your two big guys were stealing,
dominating.
They were dominating the boards offensively and defensively. That made a huge difference. Miles Kelly had 6 rebounds. I mean, it was great to have three guys with 20 points.
Yep.
You know, Todd Pettiford was on fire that second half. Mm-hmm. I think he hit the first three-pointer that we hit in the second half, and I don't think he missed a three-pointer in the second half. He might have missed one.
He may have, but yeah, I can't recall.
Yeah, but Denver Jones just had a great game. But the names that you would expect to be in the double-digit points had kind of pedestrian games. Chad Baker-Mazzara. You know, he only had 6 points. Miles Kelly only had 5 points.
Right.
But defensively, Chad Baker was all over his guy defensively.
Yeah. And when you got three players scoring 20 points, they don't desperately need you to ball out anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's you know, and that's what Coach Pearl coaches and teaches into these guys is don't be selfish. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have an opportunity, take it. Run our plan. We have a plan. Stick to the plan. Take the open shots if you have it, if your shooting lane's open. Pettiford, his ability and Denver Jones's ability to drive to the basket and get in the paint and score points is a huge plus, because you got the other guys that can shoot from the perimeter. Miles Kelly, it was in most of the games he's played in, he's hitting three-pointers from both sides.
Yeah.
Just outside the arc. So, and that's all it takes, is one or two of these guys to catch fire and then everybody else to play solid defense, and the pieces seem to fall into place.
Right.
They're going to need that kind of performance or more this Saturday in the rematch against Florida, because I went back and I watched the highlights of that Auburn-Florida game. Florida was shooting better than 50% from the field. They were like 38% from three-pointers. They were almost 100% in free throws. Mm. They had more turnovers.
Mind you, that Michigan State game, Auburn returned to their sorry free throw shooting. They shot 11 for 20 from the line against the Spartans. Now, I get it. It was the highest seed you faced yet. You beat them. That's great. Final Four, whatever. But, and Jani Broome had another great game, 25 and 14. But with him getting hurt, with the free throws bleeding in, it's like, okay, we're seeing the bad stuff start to come back into the equation right before what is undoubtedly your biggest game yet.
A lot of those free throw attempts, though, against Michigan State were with Dylan Cardwell at the line.
I know.
And he's not a high percentage free throw shooter.
He is sub 35% this season.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
But what that tells me is that Michigan State was well coached, because the coach told him, if you're going to foul somebody, this is the guy to foul.
Yeah, foul that guy.
Yeah, don't go foul Denver Jones or Chad Baker Mazar or Pettiford. You don't want it. You don't want those guys at the line.
Not the automatic guys.
No, because they're 80% free throw shooters. You don't want to put them there. If you're going to commit a foul and put the other team on the line, you got to foul Cardwell.
He knows what he's got to work on heading into this weekend.
He knows what his job is. His job's not to be a free throw shooter. His job's to be the big guy under the basket and get rebounds.
Right.
And set other people up for shots.
And he does do that well.
And he's also the guy that crashes the glass when the alley-oops are coming, because almost all of his scoring is uncontested at the basket.
Right.
Which means he's jumping up and he's just slamming the ball in. Mm-hmm. He's not known as a shooter from outside 6 or 8 feet. It is what it is. He is a defensive guy. He's a team leader. He's a cheerleader, and he's a defensive guy. He's the heart and soul of that team, and he doesn't have to put points on the boards to be that.
You were given a comparison between Jani Broome and Charles Barkley. If I had to give a comparison to Dylan Cardwell, it would probably be in the realm of Dennis Rodman. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. When we return, two of the main things we were talking about, Bill, was Florida shooting in the last time they faced you. And also, we've been talking about Jani Broome kind of having a bit of a shakeup with his hyperextended elbow. We're going to be talking about those two things, because those are very important to this game against the Gators. All that and more coming up in just a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road, across the street from the Speedway.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Get ready for a day of family fun at the Fiesta Pensacola Children's Treasure Hunt on Saturday, April 5th at Museum Plaza in downtown Pensacola. This free event runs from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. with registration starting at 11 a.m. No pre-registration required. Kids can enjoy games, face painting, an interactive scavenger hunt, and exciting prize drawings for bikes, summer camps, sporting event tickets, and more. Plus, enjoy free lunch, snow cones, and drinks. Don't miss this unforgettable family adventure.
Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine More. The place to go for sipping rosés with seltzers on ice, making margaritas with your favorite tequilas. It's warm out, let's go, our prices are low on spirits, beer, and wine. You're gonna find love what you find.
Only at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. B21.
Who's cutting down the nets this year? Get in on all the tournament action at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Go from tracking the latest upsets to placing bets in just a few taps. Right now, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code USL to get started today. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Let's face it, in life, there is no free lunch.
Are you prepared? Do you have a plan? Who can you trust?
You can trust the NFCC, the nation's largest nonprofit network of credit counseling and financial education organizations. Our certified professionals will help you learn basic financial skills and give you the tools to meet financial challenges with confidence. Come learn with us at nfcc.org.
It's your money. Get smart about it.
A public service from the NFCC.
The Rich Eisen Show, weekdays at 11, after Clinton and Yates and before the Paul Feinbaum Show, on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. This broadcast is brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse. That's right across the street from Five Flag Speedway on Pine Forest Road. Saddle up to the bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. Also brought to you by my co-host Bill Clark. And, of course, I'm Austin Price here in the studio with you. And, Bill, when we left off, we were looking ahead to this rematch with Florida. And we hinted at a couple of things that I think are going to be very important when it comes to what Auburn's going to have to look out for. That is, of course, the Gators having already won y'all's first meeting, 90-81, and Broome being, you know, just a bit more fatigued with his whole hyperextended elbow thing suffered against Michigan State. But also, we've got to consider how Florida plays in regards to their shooting and in regards to their rebounding. Those are things we highlighted against your past few opponents now in this bracket, and those were big difference makers in what got you the loss back in February.
Yes, we were out-rebounded. They were better percentage-wise from the free throw line. They were hitting the three ball more consistently.
Right.
And they were taking advantages of the weak spots in our defense, and we just never could figure out the defensive solution to that. I mean, they were out to a 21-point lead at one point. You know, it was looking pretty bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the Florida got their wake-up call the first game they played against Tennessee when they got smacked.
Right.
And they never looked back after that. All they've done is focused on doing what they do well and getting better.
Right.
They're obviously a great, very well-coached team. Coach Golden is doing a great job with them.
Yeah, they wouldn't be here if they weren't well-coached.
And he's a Pearl disciple. So
I know.
So it's
some added implications for this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're Coach Pearl's son and Coach Golden, you know, are like best friends. They've been to each other's weddings, you know. So there's no unknowns here.
You know
they know each other personally, familially.
Yeah, family. Yeah. Just they're familiar with one
another. Yeah, they've been involved with each other's families for years. You know, so this is kind of like, you know, the two adopted brothers, you know, coaching against each other again. Yeah. But back to the things that Florida does well. I mean, yeah.
What do they not do well?
Well, their top guy right now is Clayton. And the way he played against Texas Tech, you know, with the turnaround three-pointers, the fadeaway three-pointers.
Right.
You know, the dribbling past the defender and faking the pass and then getting the open shot. You know, that's the kind of thing that Auburn's got to defend against. I see him matching up against Denver Jones. Mm-hmm. And if we can lock him down and keep him, take one of the dimensions away from him, whether it's his shooting, whether it's his defense, all we got to do is knock one of the legs out from under him.
Yeah.
And I think the rest of the team can manage the rest of the Florida team. But he's the guy that you gotta put the screws to.
Right.
And either make him perform and make him beat you. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Auburn's going to have to force Florida into a position where they have to absolutely beat you. If Auburn can do that, and that's defense. Auburn's defense, if we can play defensively the way we played against Michigan State, then this is going to be a super competitive game. It's going to be close. I'm thinking within the margin of victory is going to be two possessions either way.
It's going to be
whether we win or lose. Sure. If Auburn comes out flat the way we did against Michigan and the way we did early against Alabama State,
right?
You know, sloppy turnovers, sloppy dribbling.
It's only going to be all the larger of a punch.
Oh my God, it's going to be like the game we had against Texas A&M at the close of the season.
Right.
You know, it's just going to be back on your heels early, and just that is so hard to recover from. But if Auburn comes out on fire and brings their A game, then I see this as being a super competitive game. The ingredient that Auburn really needs to at least get the best that he can do is Janiah Broome. Obviously, he's not going to be 100%. But if he can give 100% effort, whatever percentage his ability is, if he's at 80, if he gives us that whole 80% and maybe a half percent more, then I see Auburn being okay.
Yeah, we're not asking for another 25 and 15 here. Yeah. You put it best last segment. If he's just there as a defensive presence especially, but also, I mean, just using his size, maybe getting the easy buckets under the basket or whatever, you know, nothing that's going to strain him too hard.
Yeah, we don't need to rely on him to make the three-pointers.
No.
We have Miles Kelly, we have Tahad Pettiford, and other shooters for that. And when Chad Baker Mazar is hot, he's hitting three-pointers. We need all those guys to be hot, and we need them to bring their A game.
Right.
And I expect the defensive effort to be as good or better than Michigan, than what we put on the court for Michigan State. As far as Janiah Broome, when he went down on that play, of course, the initial focus was on his ankle because it did look like he rolled over on his left ankle a little bit, and that's the ankle that he messed up against South Carolina. Mm-hmm. But then the other camera angle showed him, you know, reaching to the floor with his right hand and hyperextending his right elbow.
Yeah.
So obviously it was the wrist and elbow was the main focus of what happened to him in the Michigan State game. And, you know, of course all the announcers, you know, were saying they can read lips and they said, oh, he's telling the coaching staff I'm done. So nobody was expecting him to return. And then he returned and it was like Auburn wasn't doing bad, but we were not performing quite as good as we had during the whole game with him off the court.
Right.
So when he came back, not only did that ignite the crowd, it ignited everybody else. And him being on the court, even not 100%, made a difference. And that's what's going to make a difference in this Florida game. He's going to have to give, like I said, if he's at 80%, he's going to have to give all of that 80% and have everybody else around him step up and perform. And I really think we've got a We got a decent chance. The line on the game, I think, is still 2.5.
I believe so, yes.
The over and under, what'd you say it was, 159.5?
Yes.
So I like, of course, you know, the Vegas people are really good at coming up with those predictions. And I really think that's about where this game should be. Whether Auburn's favored or the underdog, 2.5 sounds right.
Man, this game, I don't mean to sound too dramatic here, but with all that we've talked about so far this morning, this game really is everything that a good basketball game and a good basketball story is supposed to be. We were talking about how this is kind of a win-now moment for Auburn when you look at the talent that's going to be leaving. We've talked about the relationship that these two head coaches have between Auburn and Florida. Of course, this is a rematch against two teams that we knew were going to be competitive throughout this postseason. And this is a Florida team that doesn't give you anything. They are creative offensively. They are ruthless defensively, especially in regards to rebounds. Those are things that we expect Auburn to dominate in. So there's just a lot riding on this. And honestly, there's a lot riding on Houston and Duke as well. And I don't just say that because they're Final Four matchups. I say that because Duke and Houston, I looked at them the same way as I looked at Auburn and Florida. And I think Houston would be the one that you would prefer to have, but I think Duke's going to be the one that prevails, and that's going to be interesting as well, considering they also beat you in the regular season.
Yep. Well, one of the unique things about this Final Four is there's only one team that's played all three of the other teams.
And that's all.
And that's all. So we have a record to match up against every opponent, possible opponent.
Right.
Obviously,
you're not going to meet a stranger. That's good.
Yeah, we've played them this year, so the squads are familiar with each other. The coaches are familiar with each other. I'm just hoping that visually for Miles Kelly that the hoops look in San Antonio look exactly like they did in Kentucky because he was on fire at Kentucky. Regular season against Kentucky and in the postseason.
Right.
He was there's a lot of commentary about, you know, for him it visually, I guess it's different for him. The pieces come together and he's able to hit the three pointers. So I'm kind of hoping it works out that way. But first time in 8 years that all four number one seeds made the Final Four, and Auburn is the only team out of the Final Four that's played all three of the other opponents in the regular season. So
Auburn's as experienced as you can be in this moment.
Yeah, but that's what put us at the number one overall seed in the tournament was having played all these quad one teams.
Yeah, you played the 3-1 seeds. You played 3-seeded Iowa State. You played 4-seeded Purdue. If there was anyone in that bracket, there was a good chance Auburn faced
them. We played Memphis and Maui in the tournament in Maui.
Right. Memphis was a 5.
You know, so, I mean, we've played – a lot of quality opponents during the season, and we're having a spectacular season. And like I said, I'm hoping that the negative part of Auburn's basketball season has already passed us.
Right.
And I'm hoping that we are truly on the peak of our performance coming up right now. We'll see what Coach Pearl has in store. I'm sure he's doing his best to get the guys ready. They're going to be ready. They're going to be excited about this. You know, with it being a pretty much an all senior squad, with the exception of Pettiford, you know, this is their last chance.
It is.
This is their last chance, and I think they're going to go into this game focused and ready to take advantage of that last chance.
You always got to consider that when you face a team that you had previously lost to, sure, it proves that your opponent can beat you, right? Because they have before. But Auburn can also be out for blood. That's a theme we've had on several occasions throughout this season whenever we've encountered a rematch. Okay, what type of Auburn are you going to get? Are you going to get the type that its knees buckle because, oh, no, I'm scared of Florida. They beat the snot out of me last time. Or is it going to be, okay, yeah, I let you get one for free, and now, you know, now that the game actually matters, it's my turn. You know, and it definitely seems like with how Bruce Pearl has coached his team, the attitude these players have, it seems like we're most likely going to see the latter from Aubie.
Well, one of the other unique things, too, about this matchup is Auburn has a couple of players that have been here before.
Yep.
Dylan Cardwell was on the 19 team, And Chris Moore was part of the program in 19. Mm. So, you know, there's guys that the other guys can look up to and ask them, you know, okay, you know, how big of an atmosphere is it? You know, like they already don't know how big an atmosphere it's going to be, but there's somebody on your team that's already been there.
Right.
You know, Dylan, bless his heart, you know, Dylan Cardwell's got a second chance at a Final Four, you know?
Yeah.
This is I'm really looking forward to the game, and I'm not going to say with absolute certainty that Auburn's going to win this game.
No,
but I think this is the game that, out of all of the possibilities, this is the hardest matchup for Auburn. Auburn rematching against Florida, to me, is more scary than Auburn playing either Houston or Duke.
I could definitely get behind that for sure. And as I said, I mean, I said it earlier, that how big of a game this is, and I stressed, I don't just say that because it's a Final Four matchup. There's definitely some added implications here. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. We're going to take one last quick break. When we return, Bill and I will break down our score predictions, who we have between Florida and Auburn, who we have between Houston and Duke. And obviously, we're going to have to predict who's going to win it all, of course, because that's happening next Monday. This broadcast is brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road and my co-host, Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Forest Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My car is making this noise. Sometimes it's like doot doot doot, and sometimes it's like grrr.
Do you have a dash light on?
Oh yeah.
Then we don't have to listen for clues. With the free Fix Finder service, we can read a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light to find the likely fix and even recommend a local shop if you need one.
So you don't need to hear the grrr.
Not with Fix Finder. Free at every AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Quarterback Jordan Love isn't just on Green Bay's team. He's also on the American Family Insurance team. Because like us, he believes in dreaming fearlessly.
Just chase your dreams and don't let nobody hold you back.
And we help protect those dreams with the right coverage so you can
dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Escape to the Pony Gentlemen's Club at 500 East Gregory Street.
The Pony Gentlemen's Club.
Enjoy their extended happy hour and enticing drink specials from noon to 7, Monday through Saturday. The doors open at 7 p.m. on Sundays. Show a local event ticket for your complimentary entry and savor exclusive signature cocktails. Elevate your night, where sophistication meets indulgence. The Pony Gentlemen's Club.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities.
All SEC talk, all the time, with the Paul Feinbaum Show. Weekdays, 2 to 6 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. And Bill, we've got a couple of score predictions to make. It's already 10:57, so we'll cut straight to the chase. We'll get Houston and Duke out of the way first. So I have Duke beating Houston. I want it to be Houston for y'all's sake, but I've been looking at points and rebounding. The main things, Duke is just so much better versed in those regards. I think Houston's going to be a bit out of their element here.
I would agree with you there. Duke's obviously got the bigger, more athletic players. They have, you know, the guy who's competing for the National Player of the Year with Janiah Broome and Cooper Flagg.
Right.
And, you know, Cooper looked good the last couple of games. You know, Duke has the pedigree. They have the athletes. They have the game plan.
The stats.
Yeah, everything leans Duke to me. And I predict that Duke will beat Houston 88-79.
I think Duke will win by double digits. I'll just say that much. I don't have an exact score prediction for that one. I do have a score prediction for this one, though. Florida and Auburn. Rip off the Band-Aid, Bill. Who you got?
Oh, obviously, Auburn.
Believe it or not.
And I've got the score at 84-80.
I've got a very similar score, but I've got the Gators. Someone's got to win this game. And I'm going off of, you were talking about how much leans Duke's way. Florida won the first meeting. I know that rematches can be tricky, but they've proven they can beat you. Janiah Broome, just he's just not 100%. I know we're talking about him being out there and what he can bring to the table, but he's still not 100. I don't know. As I said, someone's got to win it. Allowing room for late free throws, I've got Florida winning 83-76. In the national title game, who do you have winning at all, Duke or Auburn?
I have Auburn. I think Auburn Florida is the toughest game out of any combination right now. And then Auburn over Duke. If it is Auburn Duke, Auburn 89, Duke 81.
I've got Duke over Florida 89-80. So we agree almost wholeheartedly on that part.
I think no matter what happens, whoever wins the Auburn-Florida matchup, that's who your national title is going to be.
Wow. And I got Duke winning over Florida, so we disagree on that as well. So we're going to have a lot to talk about next week in our, I'll call it season finale of War Eagle Weekly. Once again, that's going to be next Thursday, 10 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. From Bill Clark, I'm Austin Price. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next Thursday.
Don't forget, we're having a watch party at O'Reilly's this Saturday.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.